Welcome to the Global Health Podcast at Georgetown University, where we are charting new directions in health and development. Where here, in our nation's capital, we have our hands on the pulse of global health. We bring you conversations with faculty and leaders in the field. From hearing about research in global health, alumni pursuits, and student field research abroad, you'll experience it all here on the Global Health Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Georgetown Global Health Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte, and today I'm excited to sit down with Sophie Kiefer, alumna of the 2015 Master of Science in Global Health program here at Georgetown University, to discuss her unique perspective on our program. Using the skills learned here at Georgetown, Sophie has carved an uncommon path in her early career by focusing on palliative care. She is a passionate advocate for pediatric palliative care and has worked with a variety of pediatric palliative care programs in Eastern and Southern Africa. She has also volunteered with other international development organizations in South America, Nepal, and Israel. Her most recent role was as health and nutrition advisor for the Rural Education and Agriculture Development Organization, a Somali NGO based in Baidoa, Somalia. Welcome, Sophie, and thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
So welcome back to campus. How does it feel to be back in D.C.?
It feels pretty good. I think I try to come back once, you know, fairly often since graduating, so and kind of keep that tie alive. So it's nice to not feel too far away and nice to be back with less pressure, I'd say, now that I'm no longer a student. I think I get to appreciate a little more than I did a few years ago.
So you were part of the second cohort of the Master of Science in Global Health program. Since then, you've held several positions around the world. What's your favorite thing about working abroad?
I'd say my favorite thing about working abroad, I think, is the adventure and the space where you have to sort of let all your expectations go. And I think it forces you to just be more flexible and open and adventurous in ways that I think living in the States, that may not happen. So I'd say that's my favorite part. And I think also just travel. I think, you know, often when you're in another country, naturally you're going to go visit the country next door or go see a friend somewhere else. And it's a good excuse to travel more for yourself as well.
What's the favorite place that you've visited in the last couple of years?
Oh, let me see. I spent a lot of time in Eastern Africa and Southern Africa, and I know a lot of people often say Cape Town, but I'd have to agree. I think Cape Town's beautiful. I love wine. It's a great place, and but it's a really interesting place if you spend more time kind of understanding the city beyond the wineries, so
yeah.
I'd say Cape Town.
Can you talk a little bit about the positions that you've had since Georgetown working abroad?
Sure. So some of the positions I've had probably a different experience than some, as some of my positions were not a traditional role or not always paid, which has its advantages and disadvantages. But I'd say my last role probably was I was working for a Somali nonprofit. I was based in Nairobi, but I was going off into Somalia, and I was helping them in some of their health, nutrition, and WASH programs. And I'd say that was quite an experience. And I think just finally being in a country that I've learned so much about and understanding the difficulties of being in a country that's in conflict sort of brought up all the articles and other things we've all read about in class. And then you were sort of living it. So I'd say that was pretty powerful.
And what were some of the challenges that you faced while you were in Somalia?
I think some of the challenges, it can be lonely. I think being in an area that you're restricted a lot, you know, it's a lot of time by yourself. You know, I'd get to a hotel and I'm not allowed to leave after 5 o'clock. I think language can be challenging. Even if your colleagues understand, you know, you might be out in the field and you really want to connect and you can't, you know, you have to have a translator. And so you want to just ask the question yourself or, you know, play with kids and say, you know, do more than smile and run around. And I think also just figuring out how you fit into the space and how you're making an impact and, you know, being from America, how are you seen? Is that helpful? Is that hurtful? Just understanding your role in it all, I think, can be a challenge.
Okay. And what experience abroad had the biggest impact on you?
So I work also in palliative care, which is kind of looking at it's like holistic care of patients. So looking at symptom management, looking at family care, sort of beyond just diagnosis, prognosis, and, you know, curing cancer, you know, or getting access to chemotherapy, might be looking at, you know, art therapy, music therapy, and those kind of things. And I try to do that in pediatrics, so with children abroad. So definitely that work in general has had the biggest impact. But I think being with children who are terminally ill has definitely had the biggest impact on my life, on my career. And it's made me think about, you know, how we measure achievement and success. You know, there's a lot of pressure to monitoring and evaluating. We're always looking at these indicators. But, you know, what kind of indicators do you use when you're looking at a child who has 2 weeks to live or is in a lot of pain? And, you know, so I'd say just being with those children and the people who care for them has had the biggest impact.
Okay. And how did you get involved in palliative care? How did that first pique your interest?
Much longer story, but I'd say I think I was spending time volunteering abroad in different ways. I was teaching English. I was working with women who were experiencing some domestic violence, mostly abroad. And I think I was struggling with the process of, again, as I mentioned, how do I fit into that space? How am I actually helpful? And there's so many pieces to trying to help people, as we were talking about, like, you know, global health is not just health. It's the whole system, right. You know, it's education, it's family care, it's countries. And so I found palliative care as a way to be more present with people without trying to change everything. And I think the dying are often neglected, especially even in global health, you know, even though we often end up doing palliative care because that's all we can do. There's a lot of pressure to make big programs and show how many Kenyan women now have access to this treatment or how many children had a vaccine. But, you know, while we're all doing that, which is wonderful, a lot of people are left behind or may not get that treatment. Or so I want to sort of, I found it as a way to focus on people who I found were still neglected. And honestly, it's less pressure, you know, there's less kind of right and wrong in that way. And it's just, it's a complex topic.
Right. And is palliative care something that you learned about while you were here at Georgetown? Or how did you first discover the topic?
No, I think I learned about it a few years before. And I think that's what made me travel more. And, you know, I was trying to do a qualitative study kind of on my own about access to pediatric palliative care in Southeastern Africa. And I think part of the reason I wanted to join a program was I saw that I didn't have some of the technical skills to do that study. So that's what drew me to realize I need to do some kind of program to get better at advocacy for the topic.
And why do you think that palliative care is important for global health?
Obviously I'm biased, but I do think just being able to care for all human beings is important. And I think especially abroad, you know, because there's so many basic needs people don't have, the focus is often on those needs, which is so important. But with that, there's also a lot more people who are in end of life. There's a lot more children who are dying. So to me, it's like, it's a priority to them, right. You know, even if it's not always seen that way from here.
Mm-hmm. And what has been your most valuable experience in palliative care so far?
I think maybe not one time, although, you know, actually I'll give an example. I think, you know, this may sound, I guess, a little bit corny, but, you know, that's my work. So I think, you know, recently I was just in Kenya and Somalia, and kind of on the side, I was doing some pediatric palliative care volunteering, and I was able to get a magician to come to the hospital, and he came to the burn ward, the children's burn ward, which is a difficult place to be in. And there's a lot of screaming and a lot of visibly uncomfortable children. Right. And I just felt, you know, he was there for the morning and the kids were just so present and laughing, and he got the mothers involved who've been sitting there forever. And I just felt, you know, that it was just this like kind of beautiful 2 hours that couldn't, you know, I couldn't measure the success in the same way, and I couldn't, you know, talk about it maybe in a professional sense, but that was kind of the point. The point is that you couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that you just had to be there, and it was just joyful. So
can you tell me a little bit about your field research?
For our listeners, the field research module is a required course at the end of the Master of Science in Global Health program here.
Where did you do your field research?
So I did my field research in Tanzania. I was based in Dar es Salaam, but we visited two different communities, and I was looking at lymphatic psoriasis, which is a neglected tropical disease. Okay. And I was looking at Obviously, I'm more on the qualitative side than the quantitative side. So I was actually looking at social stigma, because often with lymphatic phlegiasis, you could have an enlarged scrotum or legs. And I was looking at the effect that could have on people who have that disease.
Okay. And how did you decide on lymphatic filariasis? Was it something that you were already interested in or something that was ongoing research at the organization that you were placed with?
I think it was a little bit of both, but I definitely learned more about it here in Georgetown. I hadn't even thought really about neglected tropical diseases, but since I was interested in things that were neglected, whether that was palliative care or other things, definitely looking at more specific diseases that I haven't thought about. And I think also looking at stigma was something I haven't really thought about. And so this was a way to combine that. And I think the Institute, you know, hadn't done a lot in that department before, in Tanzania. So there was some interest in looking at something more on social stigma.
Okay. And why was this a valuable experience?
I think it was the first time I was in a more structured environment where you had to really kind of jump into an institute. You're not from the area. And, you know, even though there was some interest, they hadn't asked to do that project. So you had to sort of find your way and, you know, learn how to work with translators and even drivers and, you know, preceptors and all these sort of relationships that I think until you're on the ground, you know, you can go to class all you want, but until you're sort of in a place learning to deal with it, it was very valuable, both challenging but valuable.
Right. And part of the field research module is writing a paper based on your own research or doing an analysis of research. What was it like writing a paper and then presenting that to the faculty based on your own research?
In retrospect, it was very important. I'd say at the time it was quite stressful. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, presenting, sort of flipping the switch and presenting in front of people who had, you know, shared so much knowledge with you is really challenging. But that's, you know, that's going to be what most of our, you know, careers are going to look like. So I think it was actually quite valuable to sort of push yourself to kind of own a topic, you know, that maybe you hadn't, you know, been that familiar before and really try to engage people. And so, and I'd say I definitely think the presentation was great because, you know, people really did ask really intelligent questions. And, you know, if you could look at it less that they were trying to attack you and more really kind of push you, you know, I think I'd wish that I had used it more like that.
Okay. And is there anything you wish that you knew before field research that would be helpful for current students?
This might be more personal, but I think for me, I wish that I had had more language practice beforehand, even that, if that's from Duolingo or, right, you know, from something. Because I think even though you have translators and you're often working with people who speak English, you know, I wish I could have just engaged more in Swahili with communities we were visiting, with other staff members, even, you know, people who work at the lunch counter and, you know, just other people. So I wish that I had done some more practice beforehand.
Okay. And what advice do you have for either students or just other global health professionals who are going abroad, maybe sometimes for the first time?
Definitely language, as I mentioned earlier, even if it's you don't think you're a language person or, you know, and even if it's just basic phrases, I can't tell you how many times, not to be too dramatic, but I think even in Somalia where it can be immigration and other things can be complicated, I feel like I kind of saved myself a few times literally just by doing the proper greetings to people at a counter, you know. So definitely language. And then I think trying to almost, you know, make some connections beforehand. I think, you know, a lot, especially we're in D.C., there's like institutes for, you know, countries here, you know, even meeting with people from the embassy or consulate and or looking for meetup groups from people. I just think, you know, the more people you've kind of met beforehand, you know, they're going to tell you, you should go visit my aunt. It's like, and you should, you know, and even if that aunt lives somewhere a little far, you know, I'd say when you get there, you know, take that bus, go visit them, you know, just kind of off the beaten path and you'll learn a lot more.
Okay. So bringing it back to Georgetown, you were a graduate assistant while you were here. Can you tell me a little bit about your graduate assistantship?
Sure. So I worked with a professor who's not here at the moment, Susan Stout, and she had done a lot of work in Afghanistan. So we were looking at health system strengthening of Afghanistan, as well as looking at how to use local mobilizing local resources. So this was a project she was working on, and I was supporting her, but also mostly just learning what a real project would look like,
right?
And what were my strengths and weaknesses within that process?
Mm-hmm. And how did you balance your graduate assistantship with classes?
That's a good question. I think that's going to be very personal too. I think that the best part is to just have a healthy relationship with who you're working with. So I think we both respected each other and, you know, respected each other's time. And so she understood that she was very flexible as long as you got done, you know, what you needed to. And I think, you know, being able to come here before class was a good way to just knock out some hours and mm-hmm. then go to class. But also be open if I had to do, you know, a Sunday or just to, you know, do some research. That was just kind of part of my system. But I definitely felt like, as you know, this isn't brilliant, but just communication, you know, and right. being able to say, hey, this week's just hard for me. Can we, you know, if this isn't pressing for you, can I help do a little bit more next week?
And did you think that it was a worthwhile experience?
Yes, I just had lunch with her today. And so I think, you know, especially once you're getting more looking about your own future, and I think it's extremely valuable to have someone who really knows you and also, again, knows your strengths and can help kind of pull some of that out or remind you of the things you are good at when you're feeling overwhelmed. And also just for networking, you know, so then I now have her network in a more personal way than just emailing a professor and asking them to connect you.
So. Right. On that note, do you have any advice for maybe some students or professionals who are a little nervous about networking? Like, what are some best practices that you've found?
That's a great question. I've gotten in my own way pretty far by just being open to talking to anyone and not getting frustrated when a lot of things are just not going to turn into anything. I think it's easy to say, oh, I already emailed 6 people and they all said they were going to pass out my CV and I haven't heard from anyone, but it could be the 7th person and everyone's busy. So I'd say, like, not to be discouraged if, like, you know, someone promised they'd send you something and they didn't, but also to be, it's okay to remind people. I think a lot of people, you know, we're not their top priority. And so, and I'd also say, you know, to put yourself out there and go to events, you know, and even if go to talks. I mean, we're lucky to be in DC. Like, it might be at different institutes and it might not be exactly related, but, you know, even if there's a lot of free conferences and events. And I think, you know, just to push yourself to go. And at the end, you just have to kind of, you know, if it's going up to someone who is on a panel, like most people like talking about things they're passionate about. So an easy question is to just ask someone, you know, how did you get into this? Or, you know, it doesn't have to be, can you help me with my future? But as long as you put it on them,
okay,
I think you'll open a good conversation.
That's really good advice. Thank you. And so while you're here, what was your favorite class at Georgetown?
I think, you know, when you look back, it probably there was different classes that were helpful in different ways. But one I really enjoyed was urban health. I don't know if they still have a class like that here.
Yes, they still do.
Okay. And one thing I liked about that is I know for myself, I was often focused on, you know, rural areas and sort of not thinking about, and I think, you know, the way the world is going, urban health is just becoming a lot more of an issue. And what I enjoyed about the class was I felt like there was, again, it was there was a lot of anecdotes and videos and other things. So for me, that was an easier, you know, way for me to learn. And, you know, even for I did my final paper, I didn't know at the time, but it was on women in Somalia, mm-hmm. which, you know, was very helpful years later, you know. So, but I just found that class engaging, and I think urban health can be overlooked because people still associate global health with, like, a mobile clinic in a rural area. But, you know, I think it's, you know, health, this is becoming a much more pressing issue today.
And why did you decide to come to Georgetown or even to get your master's of science?
I think, you know, practically, I'm sure as a lot of other students have felt the same, you know, the timeline felt more reasonable. And I know certain other programs focus, I think, on the U.S. as well. And then you can do a global focus. And I think when you really know you want to do global health, it's certainly important to understand the U.S. system, but it's nice to be able to jump in to the global discussion. So that was part of it. And I think being in D.C. is really helpful. And I think also just the network that Georgetown has, I think people are really passionate about the school. So I think looking after, you know, alumni and events and professors, you know, people want to help each other. So I think being able to be in that network is really useful.
And what were you doing before you came to Georgetown? Were you did you come straight out of undergrad or did you work before?
So, yeah, before Georgetown, I was doing, again, this sort of more volunteer work. I'd say I'd spent a few years probably going in and out of Eastern Africa.
Okay.
Looking at and working with different palliative care programs.
And how did you find those opportunities?
From networking and also just, you know, I think if you have the opportunity, obviously it's not easy to just show mm-hmm. up in a country. But I will say, I think in certain areas, even maybe more than America, you know, once you're in a country, that's where I sort of did a lot of my networking. You know, I'd visit one palliative care program in Kenya, and I'd say, do you know any nurses or doctors in another place? I'd say, oh, you need to go to this one over here in this country. And, you know, that takes a lot to get over there. But it was really worth it because each one led to the next opportunity.
Okay. And do you have any other advice for current students?
I'd say, definitely take advantage of more things outside of just, you know, the emails that come in, like to do your own research about what's in D.C. And to not be afraid to also use something like LinkedIn. Like if you're starting mm-hmm. to get more of a specific interest to meet people, you know, who are doing that work early on and, you know, hear how do they get there, where do they go from there. And also just to, I think people do that anyways. But, you know, for me, one of the biggest strengths of the program was my classmates. So, like, for me, I wasn't as good at, you know, in the paper writing, but I had traveled more. So, you know, I could sort of we all used our strengths to help each other. So I'd say to really, like, you know, not use your classmates, but sort of appreciate their strengths and use that to help each other grow.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are you still in touch with most of your classmates?
Yes, definitely. I just was in California. I saw two of them. And in D.C., I see who's ever here. And, you know, I think the value of a small cohort is that it allows you to keep those connections and, you know, it takes a little work, but it's totally worth it. And I think it's really interesting and valuable to see where everybody ends up. And even just for networking, you know, definitely I recommend stay in touch with your classmates because you don't know, maybe they're going to be in the country you hope for or with the nonprofit you want to join.
And what kind of things are your classmates doing now?
A variety of things. I think a lot of people are pretty close to, you know, working in, you know, from Save the Children to working in government, looking at their national health plans to global health research. So kind of all over the place. Some of them, you know, maybe also looking at domestic as well, but, you know, have done some travel before and after. So and then a few of them are either in med school or took that path as well. And I'm sure they're going to use that globally, you know, but that's a long process.
Yeah. So. And what are you hoping to do in the future with your Master of Science in Global Health degree?
I think for me, you know, I'm looking at how to bring palliative care more into the mainstream global health space or show that it's already sort of being done, even if we're not calling it that. Mm-hmm. And also look at how to connect more palliative care in conflict settings, which unfortunately we have many of in the world today. So kind of how to do more of that work in those spaces.
So do you think that'll be more of like a research role or you want to work with a nonprofit or?
Probably both. I think, you know, the research will come in trying to prove the value of that work. And right. then the networking definitely of how to connect people who are already doing the work with other nonprofits or, you know, foundations that can help support the work as well.
Okay. And so finally, what is the thing that you miss most about living in D.C.?
I think I miss just walking around here. I think, you know, especially abroad, you can't always walk as easily depending where you're. Certainly not in Somalia. I can't walk anywhere. But I just miss, like, the beauty of the area. And I know, you know, obviously public transport can be a challenge. But one nice part about Georgetown is it forces you to just walk.
Yeah.
And so I just miss, yeah, I miss walking around here and how green it is and, you know, mild weather, although I know people always complain. But it is mild compared to a lot of places. Yeah. So I think I miss that most.
Well, that's all the questions that I have, and thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Global Health Podcast, brought to you by the Department of International Health here at Georgetown University. We welcome you to learn more by visiting our website at globalhealthms.georgetown.edu or by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.